Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 99. Can you believe that, son? 99.
Wow. We're almost going to be near the 100th episode.
I mean, not really. We've done more.
Yeah,
than
we've actually.
We did piss poor planning, though, dude.
Well, that was you.
Episode 100.
You got obsessed with all the NFs.
Well, I never got obsessed with it. It was easy for me to keep track of the number of weeks that we did. That's why I did it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying is we did piss poor planning because next week is episode 100.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no events. There's nothing. Like, we're just going to be chilling at home.
Maybe we'll just skip it then.
Just skip next week?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. You see who's got love for you. All right. John Morgan here. Cold coffee's in the house. We are in San Jose, California for Bellator 172, Fedor versus Mitrione. That's right. We did not take our asses up to cold Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada. UFC Fight Night 105. No, sir. No, sir. We've got the young Mike Bond and Matt Erickson taking care of that one. We're here basically in the ghetto.
In the ghetto. And it's a haunted,
yeah.
Haunted hotel.
So we are at a place called the Arena Hotel. Now, the Arena Hotel is kind of like Hooters in Las Vegas. Like, it's conveniently located. And it's cheap. I mean, you can literally just walk to the arena.
We did today.
In fact, you'd have to walk to the arena because you'd be so embarrassed to take a ride to the arena that no matter how much you were paying somebody to drop you off, you would feel like an idiot. It's affordable. We couldn't stay at the normal downtown hotels are super expensive this week. I don't know what's going on in San Jose, but the regular hotels were like $250, $300 a night. Even the host hotel for Bellator, I mean, they're staying a good 25, 30 minutes outside of town at the Dolce Hayes Mansion. We'll be there in the morning for the official weigh-ins. So we are at the Arena Hotel, and yeah, I've stayed here a lot. I mean, we used to come here a lot for Strikeforce events, even, you know, some USC events. And at the risk of sounding a little bougie, I think we've upped our game a little bit on the MMA Junkie crew, and this place is kind of setting me back a little bit.
It is. I mean, the hallways, it looks like they're constantly were trying to paint them because there's like some trim thing on the bottom like they were trying to paint but then gave up like years ago or
something.
It's like
there's flood damage on the third floor.
Yeah. The carpet's all tore up on it. It's a little scary. And I swear, last night when I first got in, I went to go meet John in his room. We're going to go get something to eat.
Beer.
I walked back. Yeah, that's true. walked past the elevator. Nobody came out, whatever. And I'm walking around the corner. I'm walking, and I swear I hear like rustling of like pants and like somebody's walking right behind me or slightly behind, maybe 20 feet or whatever. And nobody rounds the corner. And I'm like, where would it have been coming from? But it sounded like it was literally following me. And that's when I walked in because I'd never been here before. And I was like, is this place haunted? Because
it's gotta be.
I'm getting that vibe. And when you look at this place, it looks like, I guarantee, some massive overdoses, homicides. Something has happened in this hotel.
As the esteemed Esther Lynn said to me yesterday, because Esther and Casey from MMA Fighting, they're actually staying here as well. Mm-hmm. Again, pretty much everybody in the MMA media who's done San Jose has stayed at this place at one time or another. But as she said, you can tell bad things have happened here. And I think that's a great way to put it.
Yeah, the aura. The aura.
Bad things. In fact, didn't a police officer tell you yesterday?
Oh, yes. So I'm at the San Jose trying to get my Uber, and I see a cop up by the stop. Like it said, like Uber's like, oh, go to like stop 9. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to cross the little medium and go over. There was a cop there, and I saw them talking to different cars or whatever. And lo and behold, I see on my phone the Uber app. It says like, oh, the car is pulling up or whatever. The guy literally must have saw the cops and just kept on going.
Because they were just randomly spot checking
people. They were just asking for like driver's license, IDs. And they were pretty much, I guess you're supposed to have a business license to run Uber because you are a business out here. And if you didn't have it, it wasn't like they were giving tickets. They were just telling them, all right, well, this is what they're kind of requiring. You know, go to this website, go here, you know, to get the info that you need to do the right step. So they weren't even ticketing people. But these drivers were seeing that, and I guess I wasn't the first person that it happened because I had mentioned it to the woman that's out there that was sort of coordinating taxis or something along those lines who was talking with the cop. And she's like, oh, yeah, you're not the first.
Your Uber driver just bounced.
And I had said to the cop, I was like, well, Because she kind of chuckled when the person that was coordinating the taxis told the cop that my Uber had left me there. When they saw him, or saw her, she kind of chuckled. And I was like, well, if it happens again, you know, can you give me a ride to my hotel, the Arena Hotel? And the cop just laughed. She's like, ha, ha, ha. She's like, no, we don't like that place. and just left like that. And I was like,
and that was your first impression of the Arena Hotel.
I was like, where are we staying?
Old Cole Coffey, when he came to San Jose as a UFC employee, got like the Ritz-Carlton. Now he's,
you know, something. Now we're slightly.
Let's see what life is like on the other side. So, with that said, we should preface, if you hear like a siren in the background or maybe a truck driving by, that's mm-hmm. because we have to have the window open because the air conditioning doesn't work.
Yeah,
properly.
The air conditioning doesn't work. You know, like I like to keep my shit ice cold in my room, and this thing is struggling to get it down below 70. So I had to open up the windows. It's not the greatest. And the AC, as it runs, if it runs long enough, it starts making that rattling like noise, which oddly enough, when you're tired enough, you can sleep right through it. But when you're not sleeping and then you notice the noise, then it just becomes more of this nag and you can't sleep. Then I turned it off. Then I became uncomfortable. Then I was like, oh, I hate this place. So but the things we do for you guys.
Damn right. That's where we're here. We're at San Jose, California, the Arena Hotel. Super convenient, not super nice. Now, they got nice furniture and stuff in here, but – anyway, well, hopefully the fights will be better. Again, we're just around the corner from the arena, which is nice. I got to say, man, San Jose is a fight town. I was talking to some people today, man. It sounds like ticket sales are going pretty good. I don't think it's a sellout just yet, but they're trending pretty well. I think they're going to do pretty good at the gate. And, man, this is a great town. And that arena, it's called the SAP Center now. To me, it's always the Shark Tank. I always thought that was an awesome name, of course, because the San Jose Sharks are there. It was the HP Pavilion forever. But, man, how cool is that? I mean, that building, you know, we were driving by there earlier, and I was like, Cole Coffey, man, you think this is the first building that's ever hosted a Strikeforce, a UFC, and a Bellator event? I mean, because all three organizations have been there, and you actually reminded me, you were like, and don't forget Elite XC, too, because, you know, the bar we were at, the restaurant that we were at earlier.
It was a restaurant.
An Elite XC poster.
Yeah, it's crazy. That's neat, though. I mean, but yeah, I wonder. I'm sure there's probably some other one that does it, but I think you'd probably be hard pressed to have as many organizations that come through a big arena like this than this place has had.
So. Very cool. It's fight time. I want to say San Jose too. The last time that Fedor fought here, I believe was the last time he fought in this building. Was when he lost. Now I gotta check it. Now I'm just double checking.
That's foreboding. That's,
I know, right?
Ominous.
I know.
Like my voice.
Yeah, because that's right. Because the Dan Henderson fight was in Hoffman Estates, Illinois, and the Antonio Silva fight, the Bigfoot fight, was in New Jersey. So the Verdum fight was here in California. This was actually an influential fight in my career, Cole Coffey, because, you know, it's funny because I get a lot of people asking me, you know, John, why do you always get the first question? How do you get the first question? You know, and that wasn't always the case. This was back in 2010. It's still not the case with Strikeforce necessarily. It's just kind of the UFC because they see me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I just said Strikeforce with Bellator. Sorry, I'm sorry. We're in San Jose and Scott Coker's here. It feels like Strikeforce to me. You know, Fedor loses to Fabricio Werdum, the first round submission, shocking submission. We go to the press conference, and the press conference area is kind of like in the just like this little hallway, you know, kind of underneath the arena. And Fedor's sitting there, stoic as always. I mean, he'd be that way in victory or defeat, right? But he's sitting there with just that icy cold look, and he's talking about this defeat. I mean, here's this, you know, the 27 fight win streak is over. And it's crazy because in the hallway you can hear Werdum and his team jumping up and down and singing and laughing and all this stuff. So he's sitting there having to like talk about his defeat and relive it all. And in the background you just hear Werdum and all this crazy, you know, Portuguese singing or whatever. But the thing was, I believe I asked like one or two little questions, you know, one or two small questions just to kind of warm things up as I like to do. If you haven't ever seen the way I work in a press conference, I kind of try to just get people feeling okay. You know what I mean? Like start out with a couple of softballs. Get everybody good.
We call them interview handies.
There you go. Interview handies. Just to warm people up a little bit there, you know? And then get into what we want. So I figured I would be able to get the microphone back. Because what I really wanted to ask Fedor was, Why did you tap? I mean, you've won 27 fights in a row. You know, you're this stoic, amazing, you know, icy cold stud of a rut. I mean, just go to sleep, right? I mean, you know, if it's your arm, because it was kind of the triangle armbar combo, so you don't know really was the pressure on your neck, and that's why, or was the pressure on your arm? And I could see if you feel like your arm's about to break, you're like,
yeah,
dude, I'm not doing this. Although we've seen people fight with broken arms, I could see people doing it. But if it's just a choke, like, dude, if you've won 27 fights in a row, I think you'd just go to sleep. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, maybe I can survive this thing.
You never know. There's an interview, and I was watching the footage with that one guy who's talking about the doctor, and he was talking about when guys choke out. One mm-hmm. of the things they talked about is some people, when they go completely unconscious, they lose the everything that's sort of making them stiff, and a lot of times they'll defecate themselves or urinate themselves.
You don't want to poop yourself.
What if he's a pooper?
And he knew he was a pooper?
And he knew he's a pooper, and he's like, I cannot go unconscious because I'll literally shit myself.
See? But what an answer that would have been. What an answer that would have been.
That's the stuff that stays in the gym, right?
Unless somebody sanitizes it.
Right. But, I mean, that's the stuff. It's like, bro, we're training camp partners. You can never tell anybody I poop myself when I'm unconscious.
That is true. See, what an answer that would have been. Yeah. And I couldn't get the microphone back. There were so many people in the room, and I couldn't get the PR guys' like eyes and attention, so I couldn't get the microphone back, and I never got to ask the question. And so because of that, I was like, F it. I'm going to work my ass off to try to get the microphone first every time so that I get what I want. And you know what? If I ask too many questions and I piss people off, screw it. Because a lot of times, sometimes the PR people are like, just one question, please, and then pass the microphone.
Yeah, right?
I'm like, nah, dog. My company paid me to be here. I spent a week of my life away from my wife and kid. I'm going to ask as many damn questions as I want. So this was an influential arena to me. That night happened to me, and I was like, I will never leave another press conference and feel like I didn't get to ask the question I wanted to ask because I screwed up and assumed that I would get the microphone back or whatever. So I'm just going to ask whatever the hell I want to ask.
There you go. And a legend was born.
Or something. Okay, listen, hey, before we get into San Jose, let's talk. I did want to say real quick, when you and I were leaving Brooklyn last week on Sunday, ran into Ian McCall and just kind of wanted to give a quick, mention of him. Shout out to him, man. He was looking in bad spirits,
yeah,
man.
He was in pain.
You know, he was in. That's exactly right. He was in pain. I mean, not only was he frustrated, of course, but he was in a lot of pain. And the crazy thing is, at that time, he still didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
You know, they pulled him out of that fight, and you know, he told us kind of, you know, what had happened, that, you know, I guess that was his girlfriend that was with him, right?
I assume.
I'm not sure.
I mean, she was speaking like she had pretty thorough knowledge, so I assume.
Yeah, but I guess he started because she was kind of talking to us both at the same time. We had kind of multiple conversations going on, but he actually was throwing up at the ceremonial weigh-ins, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we all heard about it the morning of.
We thought it was like that night at dinner or whatever that eventually led to it, but it started earlier on throughout the week. Yeah, and it might even been before.
Mm-hmm.
I think he even mentioned it happened even before the weigh-ins, but he actually – as well as throwing up the night before, threw up at the early weigh-ins as well.
Yeah.
And it's probably one of those things that they just accredited to, rough weight cut, his body's rejecting the fact that he doesn't have water or maybe something in there, so he's just puking up something. But, you figure that, I don't know, maybe it happened so much that it didn't throw off any red flags because nobody said anything about it.
I know. It
must happen enough that they didn't think that it was odd, you know, but maybe in context if he was like, yeah, I've been throwing up since last night and whatever, that they might have said, hey.
It's crazy. And as you said, he said he was in a lot of pain.
I completely forgot that he had missed the fight, you know, and we saw him, and just like with the way looking, I was like, all right, this dude's not faking it. Like, this dude didn't want to get out of a fight for some reason, you know, heaven forbid, you know, he's been trying to fight for a while, but he looked in pain. And I mean, he looked in a lot of pain. I felt so bad for him. It was one, you know, he missed the fight. But then to see, like, wow, you still look like you're physically dealing with something, you know. And didn't he say, like, they thought that they were going to maybe try to keep him? They wanted initially to keep him another day for observation. So
he's fine. I think he finally got home on Monday. They kept him there on Sunday. He didn't get to fly home, so I think he flew home on Monday. He's still working on getting everything figured out. Been in touch with his manager and just said, hey, listen, you know, definitely, you know, once you guys figure out what the hell's going on, let's do a follow-up and just find out what's up. Because he's always been good to us. And, you know, it's just crazy to see in the situation is because he'd been to the doctor a couple times. They just didn't know what it was. So,
yeah, that sucks.
I just wanted to mention that real quick because he did look rough. Now, before, we didn't come down here at the same time. I came down here early on Wednesday morning. I had a 6 a.m. flight out. Of course, being the American Airlines loyalist that I am and the mileage whore that I am, I flew from Vegas to Phoenix and Phoenix to San
and then
Jose.
Back out here.
But I did get upgraded in both
sense.
Legs. Oh, yeah, totally.
Makes complete sense.
Did get upgraded in both legs. You actually stayed, and we had to kind of make a last-minute decision on this because it was a late notice for us, but you got to do interviews with the Ultimate Fighter 25 cast.
Some of them.
And the coaches as well. And
did not see any coaches. Well, the main head coaches.
Yeah, the head coaches. Interesting because I got to say, man, I know people, the Ultimate Fighter, I don't care, blah, 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 blah. But I gotta say, man, I'm kind of intrigued by this season, dude. I like the idea of the quote unquote comeback. I think they're calling it redemption.
Yeah.
And crazy. Even James Krause is in there. James Krause is on a damn 2-fight UFC winning streak,
yeah.
And he entered it. But there's $250,000 on the line, and I guess he thought, hey, man, I'll make a run for that $250K.
Yeah, that's a lot of cheese to be throwing around. And what's neat, I mean, I love the idea of the redemption, the title, because a lot of these guys really are, for them, you know, searching for that redemption, searching for that either the shot back or just another chance to just prove that they're still there. And we had some great interviews. It was unfortunate. It was so pressed for time. The way that they brought it out, we thought they were going to do one format where they bring everybody out and we're just going to all sort of throw questions and then cycle the next person. Granted, that would have took even longer.
It takes longer.
And they were
but you
trying
get a lot of good content.
Yeah, they were trying to, you know, they pretty much rushed us out at the end. Like, hey, they wanted to work out, so they made the fighters come earlier to, you know, dressed up before they were going to practice, and they were taking them out one by one to probably do some other little things. I don't know if it was a film or a photo shoot, but one by one, some of the guys that were sitting around the octagon waiting to get interviewed, they'd pull one every once in a while to go do something. I'm not sure what that was. I didn't think to ask because I was scrambling to try to get the interviews done, so I didn't get to a lot of the guys, but it was good. Going around, it was like, oh, shoot. You know, like, oh, there's this guy, and there's this guy. I guess they've already released it.
I mean, you can't say much because I was kind of going to ask you, like, could you tell if anybody was like, because they've already had some fights and stuff. I'm like, you know,
no, I didn't see anybody that looked,
have like a black eye.
I didn't see anybody that looked banged up or anything.
Well, damn it, don't say anything. You're not supposed to say anything. I was going to say I was going to ask you. I didn't say I did ask you.
But it was good. But yeah, I saw like Joe Daddy and seeing Ramsey and seeing all those cats that I was just like, holy shit, where have you been? I completely forgot. You know, if you don't see somebody fighting and there's so many fights and there's so many new guys, it's hard to keep track of who's there and who's not there. And so to see the guys that were there and then, you know, to be like, oh, shit, you're not on the roster anymore.
Right.
You know, when did you get let go? And that's the unfortunate side of the thing, that with so many guys coming in and out that you're seeing these guys that you remember and they're coming and go. And but there were some great interviews, some good stuff from some of the cats.
I'm excited. I heard, you know, I think you know, the coverage of this season is going to be good. And I don't know who they're doing as far as, like, bloggers and stuff like that. Like, we don't have anything like that decided yet. I'm sure we'll try to do something. But, you know, we've heard from the UFC PR team that everybody that's on the cast, because it's their second time on the show, they realize, like, the value of media and the value of being out there. So they're all, like, super engaged and super, you know, involved and want to do stuff. So I'm telling you, I get it that people are done with Tough, but I like this. To me, man, this is there's something on the line here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, these are all people that we've seen fight, that we know about their stories, we know where they came from, we know where they've been through. They all have, you know, kind of been booted out and seen what it's like, you know, on the outside, and now they're back in. So I'm going to be watching this season. I've seen every episode of Tough ever because we have to recap it for the show. Some seasons I watch because I'm forced to.
Yeah.
Other seasons I watch because I want to.
Yeah.
This is one I think I'm going to watch because I want to watch, man. And to think that one of those guys is going to get 250 Gs, that's huge for them, man.
Yeah.
That's huge.
And one of the things I thought was interesting, too, is a lot of these guys – you know, they haven't been fighting as much, and then to throw themselves back, and it is a lot of money,
mm-hmm.
you know, but they're throwing themselves into a lot of fights in a short amount of time that a lot of these cats that haven't fought, you know, even when they were active, weren't very active,
mm-hmm.
and now they're throwing themselves in the situation. But, you know, that's a decent amount of money. That's life-changing money.
Yeah.
That's, it is. That could certainly restart.
It's not like
things.
Retiring or anything.
That's not retirement, but you could pay off your house. You could probably pay off student debt if you have that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You could probably pay off most of your debt and still have a nice down payment for a house. I mean, I know I could. I would be very, very happy.
I mean, how different would it be if you didn't have a house payment and no debt payments? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Life gets to be a lot better and could free up a lot of these guys to probably make the switch. That if they weren't full-time fighters, that's enough that you could probably clear up enough debt and enough things when it comes to assets, your car, other things, that when now you have that leeway where you could try to do it full-time again, and maybe that was the difference that you didn't have the first time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think most of the guys, when they did make it to the UFC, they probably were full-time fighters, but maybe if some of them weren't, you know, that might be a difference where they're like, oh, hey, now I can go at it again, but... it was some good guys around that room. I was just like, holy cow, where has this guy been? But they were very professional when it came to doing the interviews. It was something you don't normally, when you do those interviews, it's usually like, hey, can you, if you can, repeat the question back and the answer.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You're trying to give them a little coaching. It's those little moments like that eventually they get better and better and better from it. Some of them were just knocking it out of the park. And it's funny, when the better interviews
Which I guess
I had,
for people maybe that don't think about it, you try to get guys to repeat the question into the answer so that the video can stand alone, right? So if you're cutting up for a TV show or a news bite or whatever, you don't have to do a graphic on the screen or – you know what I mean? Like so just to kind of peel back the curtain, I guess, for people that aren't involved in video production, that's why you want that. And that's a skill. For people to do that, that's a skill.
Because at the one, they remember the question back and then draw upon their memory and then say it all in a nice – continuous phrase, you know, mm-hmm. instead of, you know, well, what was, well, my fight was blah, blah, blah. Some of the guys knocking partners. It's funny. Who was it? After one of the best ones, I think at the end, Seth Brzezinski got done and he's like, I think I'm finally getting the hang of this. You know, I was like, bro, you knocked it out of the park, you know, but it was funny that he was even kind of teasing himself that, you know, a guy that's been around the block for quite a while, you know, and has done great. And but to hear him sort of teasing himself as well, you know, whereas normally when we do these tough things, especially some of the tryouts when they're all new people, they got the deer in the headlights look, you know, they may be managing to get a few words up because they don't want to stumble over themselves and they're shy in front of the camera.
Mm-hmm.
None of these guys were shy. None of these guys it was great. So it was kind of a pleasure. The unfortunate part was that it was so pressed for time because that they wanted to work out that I didn't get to but half of them. I mean, we did get good audio from Cody and from TJ for sure. But it was good hearing from the other fighters. And so we'll be releasing that stuff out as well.
We'll be rolling that all out. It's funny, too. I was just thinking about this. I mean, of course, varying reports of whether the Ultimate Fighter is going to continue on or not. I've been told that as of right now, you know, they still believe in it. Fox still wants it. They're still paying for it, so they're still going to get the Ultimate Fighter. But, of course, there's been other reports out that they're not going to have it. But either way, could be one of the last seasons of the Ultimate Fighter that's ever filmed over there in that gym because the new campus, now we have heard, too, the new corporate campus when it opens in May is not going to be fully open. And my understanding is the production studios will be like phase two, and I don't know like if they've delayed that or whatever. But I know the goal was eventually to do the all
like
the
phase
filming.
Two, add a different part of the building on, or
just to open up a different part of it. You know what I mean? Not like to add more, but I guess like to open a different part of it. I don't know exactly where it would
be. I don't know.
But so that's what they said. I mean, the goal is to ultimately do it there, but. Even whether or not they kill the thing or whether they do it on site or whatever, it is kind of funny because that area, if you've never been to where the Ultimate Fighter gym is, it's right behind the Palms, and it's just this row of just, I mean, I don't want to say rundown warehouses, but it's a pretty, it's kind of a sketch. It's a little sketchy, right?
Well, I mean, you got that whole ravine that runs on the back side of it, or I guess it would be the front side of it where... Literally, you'll see homeless people living down there and some going through the parking lot. Yeah, it's not a fancy row of warehouse buildings.
But
it's pretty nondescript. But
it's historic, dude. Like, all the stuff that's happened there.
Yeah.
All the people that have been through those doors. I mean, like, you know, I mean, now we've been there so many times. But even me, the first time I walked in there, you're like,
oh,
whoa, this is crazy.
See,
like, I've seen this on TV.
Yeah.
And all the pictures. You got the framed jerseys everywhere.
It looks a lot smaller in person. when
it does.
When
you're there,
you're like, wow, it seems this so much bigger on TV. But it's neat. It's a shame that it would. I mean, I always thought that they should just keep it and make like a little museum or something, you know, or keep something going on, because the field, I'm sure the new place, if they do it, put it at the new facility and they use the new strength and conditioning gym or whatever that they're building out there, that'll be great. But it's not going to have that grungy flavor like the one now, like especially when you see the guys coming out of their locker room and they're punching the door open, they're knocking holes in doors. That's not going to happen at the new spot,
right?
You know, but there's just a lot of history in the new place, and every time I go there, it's just kind of fun, and you just think about all the stuff that's happened there.
I know,
and
it's
all
weird.
The people
like,
from their careers at
just
the very
tear
beginning.
It down, dude. Once they leave, they're like, it's just a warehouse.
It'll just be an empty fucking gray concrete floor in a just long, oddly shaped building.
It is a long, oddly shaped building.
It's kind of weird, but
bizarre,
man.
It's a shame. All right, so while you were doing that, I came to San Jose to start fight week here, Bellator 172. And the first thing we did was we went to AKA to go do open workouts with the featured competitors on the card. Now, interesting to note, Josh Koscheck was supposed to be a part of those festivities. And the day of, we got a note that Koscheck is not going to be there. We will have Patricky Ferry there as well, Patricky Pitbull. And so I thought that was kind of interesting because Josh and, you know, a longtime AKA guy, but I guess the tensions are there between him and the rest of the team, and he didn't want to step on the grounds of AKA, and so he's like, dude, I don't want to go do the open workouts there. So I thought that was pretty intriguing because, you know, that guy was such a piece of the history of that gym and that team, and now he doesn't even want to step on the grounds. So a little bit bizarre there. It's funny because when I got to AKA, I've gotten bad about it again lately, like posting pictures and stuff like that. I was doing really good on Instagram for a while, and I've gotten shitty about it. But I was actually going to post a pic of, you know, here I am at AKA, we're here for workouts. And I didn't do it because as soon as I thought about it, I was like, people are just going to make jokes like, don't get hurt, be careful when you go in, you know.
But I think it's good to show people. I mean, because a lot of people haven't, you know, maybe have forgotten what it looks like on the inside.
I know, but I just, you know, all the
injury
jokes with Kane and Luke and, you know, all the things that
I think
happened.
They've done some revamping, especially on some of those back little workout rooms. You should have took some pictures because I think a lot of people, when you see it, like, it's another place, too, that when you see the videos on TV, it looks a lot bigger than what it is. When you walk in that front workout room, it's not really – I mean, it's a decent-sized room. I'm not trying to say it's like a small gym or small room, but it's not really that big. And that's why I think, you know, probably did lead to some people getting injured, rolling into each other or whatever. But it's neat, but it's such a storied gym. I think we're always lucky that we get a chance to make it to – at least I feel lucky when we get a chance to go to these places, when we've been able to go to ATT, when we've been able to go to the now-gone Black Zillions, AKA, all those sort of things. Me, as a fan of the sport and as a fan of these gyms that have cranked out so many big athletes, I always take it as an honor, and I feel lucky to be able to go through there.
That's cool.
So, yeah, I mean, I love taking pictures just because, you know, you never know. I mean, it's neat to see those sort of things. And you might take a picture that somebody else hasn't seen and, you know, maybe rekindle it or whatever. But it's a neat spot.
It did make me think – now, this is terrible, but it did make me think of a very funny video – totally tongue-in-cheek, like you'd go and you'd do a tour of the whole video and you talk about, like, we're here at the historic American Kickboxing Academy, you know, it's the home of legends and da-da-da, and so many amazing things have happened here, and then, like, you'd pan to one place, like, this is where Luke Rockhold blew out his knee. This is where Daniel Cormier tweaked his neck or whatever, you know what I mean? Just like,
they would fucking boot you out.
Like, just the list of injuries that they've had there, you just go through it and you're like, it happened right here.
Or what, better, maybe so what you could do if you didn't want to get kicked out, if you did it subtly, like say as you're going and you're talking about the gym, maybe at the spot where Luke hurt his knee, you could accidentally like roll your knee and then you put like a knee bandage on and then you go to like, you're like, here's the part. So as the story goes on, he gets injured more and more and more. You know, here's where the elbow and you maybe hit your elbow on something, then you're like, oh, then you put an ace bandage on it. And by the end of the video, you're like in a full-on wrap.
Looking like a mummy out there.
Like a mummy or something.
I know. Listen, I mean, obviously you and I are very respectful of the fighters that we work with on a daily basis, so I would never do such a thing. But it made me think in my head, I'm like, this would be really
fun. This could be fun.
This would be funny.
This could be fun. But we could never do it. We'd never go back. So we'd never be welcomed back.
We gift that to the world.
There you go. Yes, you can do that.
Or if you listen, you can just imagine it in your head, and kind of we've already given you the experience of it. So you can just be like...
And then move on.
All right, so we were there for Media Day. Fedor Emelianenko, man. I posted a short little clip, and I was kind of bummed that you weren't with me because obviously I'm not the videographer that you are. I posted a short little clip on from my phone, but not the same by any stretch of the imagination. I know that Casey, a very talented videographer from MMA Fighting, I didn't see his final product, but I know he put out a clip of Fedor Emelianenko working out. But you know what? You know, kind of, especially kind of funny coming off a week where we watched Anderson Silva, you know, being next to Fedor Emelianenko again, even though he's 40 years old now, even though, you know, he did have the three straight losses under the Strikeforce banner, still the guy is a legend, and it was cool to be around him again, man. It was really cool to be that close to him. And the other thing was just seeing him, you know, his workout. He came in and was just hitting mitts, and dude, the power. My God, dude. Like, you know, they always say the power is the last thing to go, right? Dude, he still got it. He was banging. Now, I will say this. He was doing it in short spurts. You know, he was probably doing like 15 to 20-second spurts and then just kind of hand on the hip, relax, relax, relax. And pop, 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 pop. I mean, just hard. And then kind of chilling a little bit. So it was interesting. I didn't feel like we could tell much, you know, and about what we're going to see in the final form, because it was obvious the power was there. You know, is the stamina there? I don't know. Can he do it for extended periods of time? But, dude, just seeing it, and I was bummed that you weren't there, because obviously you would have been able to capture it and put together a nice video of it. But very cool. I don't guess you've never been to a Fedor fight. This will be your first Fedor fight, right? So,
I think so.
Being around him again, it was pretty cool, man. I got to say, we're fortunate to do this every week. We're all over the world. We see all kinds of fighters. But he is still a legend. I think in much the same way, like, I think I admitted last week in Brooklyn that I kind of took Anderson Silva for granted. And seeing the fans' reaction to Anderson Silva kind of reminded me of how big of a star he was. With Fedor, because he's been gone for 5 years, like, I didn't need that reminder. Like, it was even for me, I was like, wow, it's a big thing to be around Fedor again.
Yeah, that's... It's always neat when you can be around a legend, and
wow,
that's my
that
guy.
That was your guy, Rodriguez. I got you. It's improved a little bit, by the way. I think
it's the same. You just were hating on it so much the first time around. But no, it's cool. I am thankful that I am getting to work one of his events, and you never know. I don't know how many more he's got of these. I know he's got multiple on this contract that he has signed, so maybe we'll get to do this again. He's up against a I like Matt a lot. Matt's a much younger – well, not much younger.
It's crazy because you're like, Fedor's the older guy, Mitrione's the younger guy. It's 40 and 38.
Yeah, that's it's not a big difference. But, gosh, it seems like Fedor's been around forever.
I know.
Like, when did he start fighting? When he was, like, 16 or something?
I know.
But it's cool to work an event with somebody that has such a storied history and someone that, you know, at one point a lot of people considered – the greatest of all time. You know, maybe he was of a particular era. I mean, he's certainly a guy that most people know, even if you're a casual fan and maybe even only caught a couple episodes or a couple fights along time, but you know of Fedor's name, so you might not know how to spell it. You know, I have to go back and double check myself, but
I had to double check myself. It's been so long since we've written his name, I had to double check myself.
Yeah, so but no, it's neat. It's neat to see. So hopefully we'll see a marked improvement. I watched the fight against Fabio Maldonado, and I was not impressed. In fact, I thought he lost that fight.
I did too.
But now that there's no Russian Federation to kind of back it up, I think we're going to get some legit refereeing and judging in this one. So it'll be interesting. But no, I'm looking forward to it.
It's cool. I mean, like you said,
there's a lot of size difference. When they were squaring off for the Media Day face-offs, Holy
Matt's huge.
Cow.
Matt's huge.
Matt towered over him. I mean, but that just goes. I mean, he could get cocky and walk forward into one of those overhand rights or something.
Oh, dude. And the thing is, man.
And
like,
his kicks. He still got was he kicking any? Can he still kick?
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, at one point, was he known? Or maybe that was more Krokop.
Krokop was, yeah, definitely.
Was the big kicker. So maybe it's just.
More his hands than anything is what you got. Yeah. He's that leaping left hand that he throws. You know, he's got power in both hands. But yeah, it was crazy to see the two of them together. But the thing is, like, I mean, Matt does get hit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like he's some kind of defensive wizard.
Yeah.
You know, he's gotten knocked down in Bellator, and he took himself. You know,
not the most head movement going on.
No, he gets hit. So it's an intriguing matchup, much like Anderson Silva and Derek Brunson. I mean, this is kind of a fun fight too, even though it's kind of a weird fight, came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
The way their styles match up, I think this is going to play out a lot different than Anderson Silva and Derek Brunson. But we're just talking about the way the styles match up.
I just jinxed it.
Yeah, they're just going to be staring at each other for three rounds.
Yeah, it's just like, so much respect that they just never actually come forward to actually swing.
Oh, God. Now you're jinxing it bad. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And yeah, I mean, to see Fedor fight is – I think it's still something special. I think it's very much that Anderson Silva effect that we saw last week where people were just stoked to see it. I'm stoked to see it. I'm a little bit jazzed. I got a little bit of extra energy about it.
That's jazz hands going on?
That's you. That's you with the $30,000 jazz hands, for those that don't know.
40.
All right, well, so did talk to Fedor. Of course, Fedor spoke through a translator. I will say this. If you've never had a chance – it's kind of fun. If you haven't watched it, go check out the video on YouTube. And just watch a little bit. It's interesting. Fedor is one of the few people I've ever seen that, you know, obviously he has to have the question translated for him. But what's amazing is the way he pauses before he answers. Like, he thinks and he considers and he reflects, you know what I mean, before he answers the question. And there's not many people in the sport that do that. There's not many people in the world that do it. You know what I mean?
In theater, we call that a dramatic pause.
It is. It's a dramatic pause. And it's like, it can be uncomfortably long sometimes. You're like, did I ask something he doesn't understand? Or like, was that a stupid question? But it'll be like having a long pause as he just kind of considers what he's going to answer. You know what I mean? It's kind of weird like that.
That was so awkward right there. I was like,
what's going on here? He does that, and it's kind of wild to see. So I don't know, man. I'm intrigued by this. It's amazing that he's back, and he is one of the few people. I thought, you know, we've got a video coming out this morning, so we're recording on Thursday night as we always do. It'll be out Friday morning, where we asked everybody kind of what do they expect out of Fedor, and you touched on it. I think Josh Thompson had a great answer where he's like, listen, man. You know, because I asked him, I was like, do you still consider him the greatest of all time? Because a lot of people do think Fedor is the greatest of all time. And he's like, dude, it's so hard to compare people in different eras, you know? And I thought that's true because, you know, like Hoist Gracie. Is Hoist Gracie one of the greatest fighters of all time? Absolutely, Hoist Gracie is one of the best fighters of all time. Would he get his ass kicked if he stepped in the cage right now? And I don't mean current age Hoist Gracie. I'm talking about prime fighting era Hoist Gracie. If you could somehow put that guy into a time machine and bring him into the cage, how would he do? And he'd get his ass kicked. You know what I'm saying? Not because he's old. I mean, he just the game has moved
on. The game has
changed. And so, you know, I thought that was a great answer to say, look, you know, it's hard. You can't say that because it's just so impossible to compare people through eras. And I thought that was a wise thing because I do still think that Fedor is one of the greatest of all times. I know, you know, Dana White doesn't like to say that, of course, because, you know, he never fought in the UFC, but I definitely do think he's one of the greatest of all times. I do think, though, honestly, man, in my staff picks, I picked Matt. I picked Matt Mitrione in this, and it feels weird to be picking against Fedor, especially to pick a guy as, I don't want to say inexperienced as Matt, but certainly hasn't done anything in his career on the level of, you know, a Pride heavyweight championship. But I don't know, man. I just feel like at this point in the career, as you said, maybe putting too much stock in the Maldonado fight, but, man,
it's tough. I mean, I actually kind of lean the same way. And to me, the difference is, you know, when I look at the more active, you know, I guess more active in what Matt's done recently as opposed to Fedor, that's my head telling me, yes, I think that's the smart play. But I think if you think of the legend and all he's done for the sport, that's more your heart and your emotion telling you that, oh, you got to go with him because, you know, and you hope that he's still got that. You're like, mm-hmm. Oh, we can get another one out. He's good for another big one, you know. But a lot of times it doesn't play out. And I don't think that's going to play out. And I think Matt's just got too much size on him. And I think if Matt can keep himself under control and keep his head moving, you know, stay off that center line and just kind of get in there and make it dirty. You know, get control of them, bull rush them if you have to, and just get them on the ground and do your thing. Don't try to be too cutesy and think that you're going to just stand and trade punches with a guy that's not really that much older. And I think a lot of people have been playing him as being this old guy, you know. But as for what it sounds like you guys saw, he's still got it in short bursts. And those short bursts are enough to put most people down. And Matt could be put down as well. You know, we've seen him get dropped, you know, so.
Could happen.
But I'm with you. I kind of lean towards Matt in this one.
Bigger,
sure.
Stronger, quicker.
Bigger, stronger guy. Bigger, stronger, quicker. I think this is one of those ones where that football background's going to pay out, because I think if he just bull rushes and gets him down on the ground, I think he has the ability to probably keep him down on the ground and do some damage.
I agree. Like I said, 5-5 win streak for Fedor Emelianenko, but, you know, Jeff Monson, well past his prime. He's in his 40s. Satoshi Ishii just never panned out to what people thought he might be. Not old by any stretch, but just never turned out to be as skilled as people thought he might be. Pedro Hizo, a beast, but certainly, you know, well past his prime as well. Jaideep Singh, I don't think people were ever too worried about that fight. And then Fabio Maldonado, who beat him.
Yeah.
Straight up. It was that easy. He beat him. All right, well, listen, we did talk to Fedor Emelianenko. That's on YouTube if you want to check it out. Of course, it was through a translator. Fedor, it was as stoic as always. It was fun to see it again, but it was kind of an honor to be around him again. But I did want to share our conversation with Matt Mitrione, because his attitude is interesting, man. You know, to him, this, he swears, it's just another day at the office. And I don't know if I believe him or not, man. I mean, you're facing a legend right here, but he's playing it till the very end. He's saying, thanks, Yair. He's saying, you know, this is just another day at the office. It's just another fight. I'm not too excited about it. I'm not too worried about it. It is what it is. And, yeah, this is what Matt Mitrione had to say.
Talk about your feeling right now. I mean, it's not like you haven't known this fight was coming, but now that it's fight week, the legend on the other side of the cage, is this one feeling kind of special to you?
Another day at the office, brother. Really. I mean, I think this is the first time I ever fought in California, I think. So it's a little bit different in that aspect. But, like, other than that, really, it's just kind of hanging out. Same crew, same people, same whatever. You know, that's about it.
I think the location of the fight would be the last aspect that people would think that you know, think is unique. And that's the part that sticks out to you.
Yeah, really. I mean, I wish we were at the Fairmont, because there's a lot more things to do around the joint. Like, other than that, I think it's just kind of par for the course.
How do you get ready for this fight? Because I think us on the outside, we're like, what does Fedor have? And it's a question mark for us. You know what I mean? He's the greatest of all time, but is he still the greatest of all time? So how do you prep for that?
I prep for early 2000s Fedor. And that's really what we expect. I may not be that way, and it'd be a shame if he's not, right? Because I'm as good as me as I've ever been. So if if he comes out there and he's not that way, that'll be a shame. It'll be a letdown. But I think he respects his name and his legacy enough where I don't think he would do it. And I've heard that he only trained a month. I've heard that he's in the best shape of his life. I've heard all kinds of stuff. But like I said, I hope that his first couple of fights were just getting the ring rust off, and he comes in there and throwing fire like he always does.
Is it not intimidating at all to prep for that guy with the mystique, the aura?
No, same old thing, brother. I'm just tired of fighting the same people in practice all the time. I'm excited to get somebody different and get paid for it.
How do you measure respecting him as one of the greatest of all times and not letting that get in the way of what you're thinking of your game plan?
It won't. It just, I don't. The only person I was ever enamored by was BJ Penn, and I'm not going to fight him. So, I mean, that's really, that's it. Like, it's, I think I see Fedor as an opponent. Right, like I always, like other heavyweights, like I see him as I might fight him sooner or later. So I don't really let any kind of starstruck capability at all.
With the build-up for the fight, with the international audience as well, you're going to see lots of foreign press over there. What's that like for you, being on a bigger stage than just in America? People over in Europe are talking about you. They know you. They're learning your name.
Yeah, cool, I guess. You know, when I go vacation over there, hopefully it'll be a little bit of a different experience. But really, man, like, it's just a job, brother. It's like, it's just the work. It's just the same old, same old. I'm one of the only people I know that at least I'm told as such, that I don't really get anxiety. I don't get nervous. I'm usually pretty even keel. I've been birthed on a big stage. I was birthed on fire, and I've played in front of 100,000 people before, and I've been the guy who jumped off sides and got booed, and I've been the guy who got a sack and got cheered. So it doesn't really affect me at all.
Because you don't get that hype ahead of time, does that mean you don't get the excitement afterwards? I mean, would this be a special moment that you could cherish to get this victory?
I'm sure, like, you know, a month down the road, you know, or something like that, I'm sure I'll be like, well, that was kind of dope, you know, or whatever. Maybe afterwards, you know, hopefully we're drinking a beer together, you know, like, maybe that'll be the time. But, I mean, it hasn't hit me yet. Might. I doubt it, but I don't know.
X's and O's. Stylistically, how does he match up both skill-wise and just physically?
I don't know. That's a really good question. I think that a lot of people, I think I match up well against a lot of people because I'm the variable, I'm the wild card in a lot of my fights. So I'm not saying that Fedor is similar to every other heavyweight where they're plotting, slow-footed, rock'em sock'em robots. But I think I'm the variable there. So, you know, I think that I stay long, stay mobile, give them trouble, touch them up, don't get sucked into a brawl. I mean, really, if I get wrapped up and let my balls hang too much, then that could be bad news for me. But if I stay cognizant of my spacing and my distance, I should be fine.
If you walk away with the win Saturday night, what's next for you? Like, they're not going to bring you maybe a name like Fedor again as a title fight? Would that be the next biggest fight for you?
You know, man, that's not my gig. I don't care. Like I signed this contract without knowing who it was. I'm just down, man. It's my job to put on shows, be an entertainer, and make and put forth the best person and fight I can do, and represent the company well. So whoever they want me to get down and scrap with, I'm down for it. Like, there's a couple people that are like, look, I don't think that dude really wants to get down. I think it's gonna be me chasing him down and him trying to avoid fighting. But other than that, I'm down, man.
Welcome back to the MMA Roadshow. That was Matt Mitrione from Media Day. A little bit of our conversation there. Hey, I don't say it enough, so I need to say it some more. If you like what you're hearing, do me a favor. Go into iTunes, please. Review us. Rate us. Give us 5 stars if you can. Leave some comments if you can. I love reading those, man. Always nice to get the feedback. Nothing better than knowing that people are enjoying what they're hearing. So, yeah, and it helps us get good ratings and all that good stuff. So if you can do that, please do. Appreciate it. Enough of that bullshit. All right, here's the thing about Bellator 172. Super excited about Fedor Emelianenko returning. It drops off a little bit after that. Josh Thompson versus Patrigi Pitbull is a good fight. There's no doubt about it, right? This is going to be a fun fight. These are two guys that love to scrap. And Josh Thompson was in a phenomenal mood, man. He says he's a guy that has basically hated doing media his entire career. Just basically thinks that he just hates doing it. And I don't know what he thinks because I feel like everybody's been fair to him, but he just hated doing it. And he actually enjoyed doing media, which is crazy. He was in a fantastic mood. And Patrigi Pitbull, just like his brother, man, they come to bang. So I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
Giggity.
And then Chuck Congo versus Ollie Thompson, I'll be honest with you, I didn't have a lot of excitement for until today when we were standing outside. Now, this is kind of funny. So Bellator is still growing a little bit, still figuring things out. Their media day started at 2 o'clock today. And so Cold Coffee and I said, well, you know what, man, let's get there about – you know, about 1:15. That's about what we normally do, right? We get there about an hour.
We even walked. We started a little early, walked, so thinking it might take a little bit. But we're that close. We got there in like less than 15 minutes.
Yeah,
it was
super,
like, super slow.
So we're there about 1:15 or so. And thought, well, you know, the doors will open. It starts at 2, but the doors will open before that. We figured we better be there to get checked in, get set up, all that good stuff. Well, no, there was nobody there. So we're just kind of hanging out outside. Luckily, absolutely gorgeous day in San Jose. Can't beat it. The weather was phenomenal, so we were just kind of hanging out, shooting shit. And a van pulls up, and out pops a Bellator official and Chris Lytle.
Yeah.
And so we're like, cool, the fighters must be here. But that was it. It was just the two of them. And that was like, what a random pairing that is. And they were like, well, can we get in? Like, no, well, the doors are locked. There's nobody here. So then we just start, you know, talking with Chris Lytle, and we're like, so – if the doors aren't open and nobody's here, like, what are you doing here? He's like, I don't know why I'm here. Like, they picked me up at the airport and they're like, you must want to go to the press conference. And he's like, yes, I do. I guess so. So he ended up there, which I thought was great. So we started talking to him And then, you know, a few minutes later, another van pulls up, and Ollie Thompson gets off among some other people as well. And Ollie Thompson just kind of comes over and sits down next to us. We're all just kind of hanging out. And then a few minutes after that, another van pops up, and Chet Congo jumps out. And Chet Congo walks right over to Ollie Thompson, and I'm like, uh-oh, there's nobody here to get in between them if they have, like, a rough relationship or whatever. If this is a grudge match, I'm like, there ain't nobody here.
Yeah, I'm not doing it.
I'm not. No, hell no, I'm not doing it. And instead, you know, Chet kind of gives him a little polite little nod. It's like, hey, and then it's like, why'd you take the fight? And Ollie's like, I didn't take the fight. You took the fight. And so they have this little little back and forth of like, nah, man, you were the one that took the fight. And I think it's kind of disrespectful. And it kind of made the fight fun for me because then we went in and we did our interviews.
Yeah.
And we had like a talking point. Like,
gave us something
what,
to talk about.
What happened there? You know, yeah. And as it turned out, these guys used to train together at Wolf Slayer. And, you know, they called and offered Ollie Thompson the fight. And Ollie said, we've got a little video on this and a story that'll be on MMA Junkie when this on Friday morning. So check it out. But Ollie was like, well, they called me and they told me that, you know, Chuck wanted to take the fight. So I said, okay, I took it, you know. And they called Chuck, and I guess they told Chuck, you know, Ollie wants to take the fight. So they basically kind of both told him that the other guy wanted to fight him. And they're like, damn it. You know, so neither one of them could determine who actually gave in first. But Chuck said he took a little bit of a sign of disrespect. He was like, hey, man, I thought we were buddies, you know. I thought we had trained together. Like, the least you could have done is, like, given me a phone call and told me what was going on. And I don't know. I thought that was kind of an interesting dynamic between fighters because at the end of the day, I mean, they're fighters. It's nothing personal. It's business, right? I mean, it's there to make money, and this is what they're here to do. But, I mean, it was very obvious that Chuck thought, like, hey, Ollie Thompson at least owed me a little bit of a, you know, just a heads up to be like, hey, here's what's going on.
And I think maybe it was the difference of when they were working out, because it seemed that we got the impression, or later on we got the impression from Ali that he was brought in as a sparring partner for Chuck. At least maybe that's what it was initially.
Right.
So maybe there was a different dynamic at that point. You know, maybe in Ali's mind, he's like, well, you know, I'm brought in to help bring this guy up, but we're not really buddies. You know, this is a gig. This is a job for me where maybe Chuck saw it as a different thing where it's like, here's a guy helping me train. You know, this we're partners, we're training buddies, you know, working to better ourselves. And maybe he saw something more in it than what Ollie did. But, no, it was interesting. But, yeah, because I didn't pick up at first. And you kind of nudged over and you're like, they're fighting each other. You know, I was like, oh, shit. But they were completely polite about it.
Yeah.
I got no feelings like, oh, shit, something's about to go down. But, no, it was neat,
kind of made the fight a little bit more interesting.
Definitely,
for me.
definitely gave us something to talk about and get him talking. And
now after that, after
Chukongo, I wish you would have called me. And
you haven't been working on that one very long, have you?
What do you mean? What do you mean, John? Do you not like my French accent? Fuck you. I smash you.
Did you hear when we were like when we were interviewing him today, and I think you got distracted for a minute, so I don't know if you caught it or not, but then like he was talking about
Mandel was asking me a question and I was talking to him. I was actually telling him about the thing between the two of them. I was trying to give him a heads up. Hey, this look what we just found out.
That's funny. So Chuck was talking about how like, you know, certain people and you might have this audio, I don't know. But no, it was like, he was talking.
Apparently I don't. The machine must be busted.
He was talking about how, you know, sometimes it's hard for foreign fighters to get a foothold with an American audience because they don't necessarily relate. And so he basically, like, did himself in a fake French accent of like, oh, ho, ho, I'm drinking wine. And you know what I mean? But it was like Chet Congo in his French accent doing a fake French accent of like what Americans would think a French guy should sound like. So
I like it.
It was pretty funny.
Chet Congo.
Chet Congo might be a full-time co-host now. I like that. You know, after that, it, you know, Vada Arteaga versus Brooke Mayo, like, I don't know, man. I'm glad they're committed to the women's game, but a 2-1 fighter against an 0-0 fighter on the main card, I just don't know if I just don't know. It just strikes me as odd. And then you do have Josh Koscheck, which I got to admit, I'm incredibly intrigued in this Josh Koscheck fight. We didn't get to talk to him at all. Now, Ben Folks did a phoner with him last week, and he had a great piece about him. So if you haven't read that on MMA Junkie, do go read that because it's a good interview with Josh Koscheck. I am extremely interested to see what Josh Koscheck still has in the tank. Again, by all accounts, what are you doing?
Spying on Agent H. I was like, "What are you doing?
Were you?"
I didn't realize that there was audio.
Were you watching your house?
Yeah, I have cameras. I can watch.
That's creepy, dude.
No, it's not. It's love. but you know, Las Vegas. The reason I got him, Las Vegas. If your burglar alarm goes off and you don't visually affirm that there's some in your house, Metro won't go to your house. So like,
you were creeping on your own girl.
No, she. I asked her, I was like, what are you doing? Are you watching TV? She's like, are you watching me? I was like, no. She's like, well, you can. Right there. So
she was about to do a little something.
But I didn't realize there was audio that came through.
I know. I'm like, dude, I'm used to you like being so distracted that you can't even pay attention to the podcast. Like, I'm used to that. But then now you got to add in audio as well? Ridiculous.
I should make her do a dance. I'm like, here, dance for us.
Oh, no, I'm good. You can have that on your own. Oh, Jesus Christ. What are we doing here?
Oh, John, I was appreciating the TV.
Oh, God. So Josh Koscheck, had the rough streak to end his UFC career. No question about that. 5 straight losses to end his UFC career. Fighting again, admitted straight up to Ben Foltz, I don't necessarily enjoy the preparation for this. It's not a lot of fun, but man, I know that I don't have much left, and I still enjoy being in the spotlight, and I still enjoy, that moment of going out there and fighting. Again, one of the things I really wanted to talk to him about, and I'm bummed that we didn't, is that this guy's made a ton of money from everything that I've been told outside of the UFC. He's invested in some businesses. I know he has, like, this, security company that he owns. And has made a bunch of money. And I wonder, normally we hear about fighters who are just like the end of their career. They're, they don't have anything to show for it or whatever, And I wonder, like, does he feel like he just got lucky by making the right investments? Or does he feel like, guys are out there doing the wrong thing? Like, he handled himself right when other people aren't. And kind of what advice he would have for young fighters coming up who'd want to follow in his footsteps, who'd want to be financially, independent and stable at the end of their fighting career.
Yeah. I think that was one of the great things that the UFC is starting to kind of grasp on that too, is having guys, talking about financial security and financial planning. And I think anytime they could put fighters that have done well and did the right things and put them in contact with some of the upcomers, young guys, but even some of the veterans, some of the guys that have been around that maybe haven't done the best when it comes to that sort of thing, that's the kind of thing I wish more of these organizations were doing to kind of help these people out. I mean, granted, it's not like our own companies that most of us deal with do anything. Most of them, they go as so far as to, all right, here's a 401k plan you can get involved in, but then that's it,
Right.
But you would think in something like this where fighters get a chance, get access to large or decent-sized amounts of cash or money, how best to kind of make that last and use that quick bit of money to invest in something. I think that's the kind of stuff that I'd love to see more of these companies do to help these guys. So anybody that does it well, I think, every fighter should, somehow gravitate to that person and find out, what did you do? What am I doing wrong? Ask those questions, because that's the kind of stuff, because eventually you're not going to be able to fight,
Right.
Just like the rest. Eventually, we won't be able to work, Have we all done what we need to do, to make sure that we're secure? I know I'm certainly not at that point right now.
Hell no.
I do got this bag of Blue Diamond Almond Bold Wasabi Soy Sauce Nuts. That was my attempt to do a poor advertisement for somebody that's not actually sponsoring us. But should you be listening, Blue Diamond Almonds, Wasabi and soy.
We're a big fan of your
nuts. We're a big fan of your nuts. I just can't wait to get home and put these in my mouth every day. I wonder if they would let that line go.
My favorite Josh Koscheck story. It's funny because, we were talking about the tough days, the tough media days. When him and George St. Pierre were opposing coaches, we had a media day. And back then they did do like one fighter at a time or whatever. So, you could really talk to every fighter. But Josh Koscheck came in, and we were interviewing him, and he basically just, like, unprovoked and, like just completely – it wasn't even, like, answering the question – drops in the fact that he accuses George St. Pierre of being on steroids. And I was it wasn't even like, well, do you think perhaps it's performance-enhancing drugs? You know, it was just more like, talk about George as a fighter. And he was like, well, the guy's on steroids, you know. And it was funny because he just threw it out there. And so I was like, hold on, man. He just said he's on steroids. I'm like, I can't write that. Like, maybe he didn't mean to say that. That's why, out of courtesy and respect, I kind of circled back to him and I was like, hey, you know that thing you said just a second ago? And he's like, what, about how I'm great? No, that part where you said about GSP on steroids. You know, and I circled back to him and you know, kind of gave him a chance to retract in case he didn't want to, in case he kind of let that slip or didn't mean to say that. And he doubled down on it, man. He was like, yeah, dude, like, you can just see it. You can tell. The guy's GSP's on steroids. And I was just like, all right, well, I gave you a chance. I was like, now I'm writing the story.
Yeah.
So, of course, wrote the story when we got done. It blew up. Huge traffic. It became the story everywhere. Everybody wrote the story. And he had to actually personally apologize. It ended up happening where, you know, the UFC was like, dude, you can't say that, bro.
Yeah.
Made him, like, personally apologize. And right after that happened, man, like, I ran into him at Planet Hollywood because obviously he was living in Vegas to a thing. And I just happened to be there with my wife, like, going to have dinner or whatever. Bumped into him. And I'm like, yo, by the way, man, I'm really sorry, like, that you got into all that trouble. I didn't, you know, I certainly didn't mean for you to get, you know, have to apologize to the guy and everything. But, I mean, you did say it. But I just wanted to let you know, sorry that you had to deal with all that. And he just kind of looked at me and was like, he made that little rubbing your fingers together, like the money sign or whatever. He's like, it's all good, brother. It's all good. And I was like, look at you, Josh Koscheck. You smart little son of a bitch, dude. Like,
that's
you
funny.
Knew exactly what you were doing, you know, like, whatever it takes to stir up the controversy to make people hate me. You know what I mean? Yep. I think he realized –
he did like being a bad boy.
He did, man. I think he realized early in his career people were just not going to like him. Yeah. So, F him, dude. I'm just going to be the biggest a-hole I possibly can. So, after that
– which is funny because, like, you saw once when I was still with the UFC, we did a charity piece. And he was one of the guys that got asked to go to, like, Martha's
– yeah, it was
Martha's
here in San Jose,
kitchen.
Actually. It was when the UFC came here. Yeah, it was like because we went to a – a soup kitchen.
Yeah, it was like Martha's Kitchen or something like that. And the dude was all about it. I mean, like, he's – I mean, there's definitely the fighting side. There's the I want to be the bad boy side. But the dude's got a heart as well. Like, he was busting his butt at this charity thing. So as much as people can hate on these
he was
guys,
more involved and more, like, just engaging.
Like, super engaging with the guys. Like, I was like, that dude's awesome.
I remember that.
Know?
It was, like, him and Cormier like, Rockhold, like, serving food.
And, like, Fitch, I think.
Yeah, Fitch was there too. You're
like,
right.
It was a pretty good lineup. And I remember thinking, like, wow, this guy, everybody thinks he's like such this like bad boy, doesn't want to deal with anybody. I was like, but there he was, front and center at this
charity
event.
Serving food to the homeless. And not just doing like the going through the motions thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, really, like, talking to the people.
Yeah, he
like,
was into it.
Hey, man, what do you want? How you doing, brother? Da, 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 da. Like, I mean, just a nice guy.
Yeah, it was good. So, I mean, that's the kind of thing. I guess we're lucky in the sense that we get to see the airs that these guys sometimes put on, but a lot of times when they drop that and they maybe forget that camera's around and then the real self comes out, and that's the part that we're lucky enough to get to see sometimes. So as much as I know he pisses people off and does other things, dude's got a heart in there as well. You know, it's just got to be the right situation. So I was glad that we actually got to do
that. Was cool. I forgot about that. That's funny you mentioned that. I totally forgot about that. That was
I didn't realize that was San Jose.
It was, man. That was here. Yeah. I wonder if that was the week of that crazy Wednesday event.
I can't remember.
When they came here on a Wednesday afternoon, that was Weidman and Munoz, and they came, and it was a Wednesday afternoon. Like, dude, like, the first fight was at, like, 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Like, and they sold, like, no tickets for it whatsoever. Like, what do you expect?
What do you expect?
How do you do a West Coast show in the middle of the
middle
week?
Middle of the day. Yeah.
Crazy. Nuts. All right. Well, listen. So, after that, 12 preliminary fights.
Whew.
Guys. Well, we don't do a lot of Bellator, right? This is our second Bellator event in about 6 weeks or so. Too much damn prelims, dude. 12?
That's a lot.
That's a lot, man. It's a lot of fights. And I get it. It's local ticket sellers, and that's smart business, man. It really is smart business. You get people in town, they're going to sell to their local gyms, to their friends, their family, all that stuff. But holy Christ, it's a lot of fights. So, yeah. So it drops off a little bit. But the main event is big. And I do think, man, this is such an interesting time. Dude, with everything the UFC is going through right now, and it just seems like all the attention right now around the UFC is negative. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to suggest that Bellator is supplanting the UFC anytime soon, but man, it is an interesting time in the sport because I feel like every time people bring up the UFC, they're being negative, and it's especially I guess on the heels of UFC 208, that doesn't help. You know what I mean? Like that wasn't a great card.
Yeah.
I think 2 weeks from now after UFC 209, everybody's going to be singing a whole different tune because I think that's a effing phenomenal card. And should be some fantastic fights, but I don't know, man. This is just kind of an interesting week because, again, there's so much negativity around the UFC, and now you got Bellator. You know, looks like they're going to sign Bader. Looks like they may sign Larkin as well. And, you know, all these things, and you know, man, it does seem like they're on the come up. I'm not going to lie. It does seem like they're on the come up. And, not a ton of media came out here, but I guess I will say – the Sherdog crew is here. My Sherdog crew, I mean Dave Mandel, the one-man gang.
One man.
The MMA fighting is here. It's just Casey. It's Casey Nestor, and then Dave is here as well because he lives here. Mm-hmm. And then other than that, I mean, I didn't see much MMA media there at all other than us. But
yeah,
it does seem like this card's getting some attention. But yeah, after the main event, it kind of drops off a little bit.
Well, it's weird. I'm just... granted, this is probably the second time I've scanned through the lineup, but they have a person, Brooke Mayo, mm-hmm. 0-0,
yeah, making her debut
on the main card.
Making her debut.
That's crazy. Who puts a debut like that, like professional debut, on the main card? That's just see, it's little things like that that leave my head shaking a little. I mean, I think they do some really, really cool and unique things, and then they pull a move like that, and it's like that fight could completely flop, and that's going to be on your main card, where they have all these other guys. I mean, I wonder what some of the other prelim guys that have fought.
She did have an amateur background here in California, so I mean, it's not like she's not.
Is it just local sales?
I guess
you're trying to keep the local people around, so you put a bigger local thing.
I mean, she's a prospect.
Yeah,
she's a prospect, but
everybody's a prospect when you're 0-0. I'm a prospect in that sense. I've never had my first professional fight either. But whatever. I mean, she certainly looks cuter than me. But I thought I was reading this wrong. I was like, why does that say main card? But
I know that stuff surprises me a little bit.
It does. It does. But I mean, I don't know. Maybe they're much smarter than us and they know something better. But I think it definitely has to tie in with that local and maybe what draw they're hoping to bring. But that goes out on the broadcast, right? I mean, that's...
Yeah, they don't just shut the airwaves off.
Well, I mean, I don't know. We've seen last time they didn't do anything for the first couple ones.
That's bizarre too, man. Yeah. You have camera people and you're not even shooting.
Yeah.
It's weird. All right. Well, listen, I did want to share a little bit of this Josh Thompson conversation because Josh Thompson, first of all, is a guy that has always spoken his mind freely, whether it gets in trouble or not. But dude was just in phenomenal spirits this week, and I do think it's going to be a fun fight. He did say, listen, he wants to fight the rest of his career in San Jose. Doesn't want to go anywhere else. He's like, this is the place for me. This is my town, and honestly, I just want to keep fighting here. And I thought that was kind of interesting to hear and kind of where his head's at. So I figured while we re-up on some of these frosty beverages here that are these award-winning Past Blue Ribbons that are going down pretty nice at this point.
1893, America's best.
Can't do well. We're re-up on these. You can listen to the punk, Josh Thompson.
Well, it's been a while since we had a chance to watch you fight, man. How's it feel to be getting ready again?
It's good, man. It's just different. Good place, good time, just different world. Enjoying the moment. That's it, For once in my life, I'm actually enjoying the company of you guys.
What changed?
Well, for a while, I was just getting sick of all this fake news. But anyway, I'm just kidding. You guys, come on. Be careful.
Second question already.
Yeah. No. Just, things have changed, man. Life's changed. Things are different. Just, I'm enjoying this right now. That's it.
You feel like you're in the twilight a little bit? Is that kind of what you're hinting at?
Oh, yeah, for sure. But just, I'm enjoying it. That's it. I can't say this is my last fight. I can't say my next one will be my last one. But I'm just enjoying the training. Once I can say I'm enjoying this, before it was always like I felt like you guys had a ulterior motive kind of thing. And I just, right now, it's just kind of, I'm just enjoying it.
Whatever happens. To prove you wrong. Talk about fighting here in San Jose. I mean, obviously you've done a lot, but is it still something that's special to you?
For sure, 100%. I wouldn't have taken the fight otherwise. If it wasn't in San Jose, I was cool with letting it go. I don't need this fight. I do it just because, like I said, it's in San Jose, and that's it. I don't know how many more I have left of me, and I want to make sure that all of them are here. So if they're not going to be here, then I probably won't fight.
Really? So you just want to do them all in San Jose? Yeah. Even if it's a title fight or some of those big names you've been
chasing? People think I care about the title. I don't care. No. I'm doing this for me right now. Like, I love working for Scott. I love Bellator's promotion. I love the people that he's bringing on. Every day he's got someone new that's coming in and that I know can make great changes to the sport and also to this company. So I enjoy it, man. I see everything he's done, not just with Bellator, but what he did with Strikeforce, and it feels like family again. It feels like this is the perfect opportunity with the sale of the UFC and now with this, with him, and just Viacom backing him 100%. I think the sport's gonna change drastically. Give it a year, give it some time, guys. I'm not saying tomorrow, okay? I'm just saying that I think that this is the time to take over.
Is there a moment for you that you can go back to that your attitude kind of changed to this?
Yeah, I'd say last April when I got hurt. Just things changed, man. The injuries that I had, just the things in my life, just, you know, just realizing that you said twilight. But, you know, you want to enjoy the moments you have left. Don't make too much stress out of it all. Enjoy the moments you have left, and I'm enjoying this right now.
When was the last time you came into a fight with this feeling where it's just like, no, this is
never. Never. I've never coming like this. I've never felt like this is just, this is it. Like, I'm here to have fun, man. Like, whatever happens, happens. Throw caution in the wind. Like, it's different. When you're younger, you don't feel like this. You don't feel like this could be your last one. You don't feel like that. You feel like, there's always tomorrow. You know, you put pressure on yourself not to lose. You know, because you need to worry about tomorrow, because you lose, that's where you're going to get your next check. I don't need to worry about tomorrow, man. I've got a great gym. It makes money. I started a podcast. Doing it is already making money. Like, I've got things that are coming along, and I'm just like, I'm having fun, man. This is great.
Before,
like,
did
I think
you, like,
about
people
it.
Were out to get you, or just didn't respect you, or what?
No,
did you
I don't, mean? No, the respect has never been the thing. Like, people, they want to stamp labels on you, put you in a box, and put you to the side, and let you know, like, this is what they think of you. And that never bothered me ever. Did it bother me? You know, I know what I've done in my career. I have great memories. Like, dude, my fights with Gilbert to me will always go down in my. I don't care whether you guys believe it or not, but. You know, talk about it or not. But to me, I feel like it's probably the greatest trilogy in history. A one-sided first fight, I would say one-sided. He beat me up in the second fight. But fuck, it was entertaining, right? Fuck, we had probably one of the best fights of the year that year, if not the best. And the third fight was just controversial. What else? I mean, you know, and then as a matter of fact, he was just on a podcast yesterday saying, like, he could see a fourth fight. I mean, I remember after the third fight, he was like, I'm done with that asshole. You know, he's like, I'm done with that asshole. You know, but now it's like, hey, I could possibly see a fourth fight. And that's something that, like I said, I'm looking at fights like that. Something that means something to me. People think titles mean something. I got one already in my office. You know, the Strikeforce title sitting up on my bench. I'm good, man. Like, the rest of my life, when I have kids and all that stuff, they can look at it and be like, dude, my dad did something with his life. Those are things that are important to me. Not. Care less about
you think the
rest.
That's the future of the sport? Because it seems like we're at this time right now where people are trying to figure out, do belts matter? Do money fights matter? Super fights matter? Like, what matters?
It depends on your what's important to you. You know, when I was younger, a belt mattered. Once you got the belt, it didn't matter anymore to me. Now is the money time. You know, it's like, it's time for you to make some money. You know, and so that was a big reason. Like, the offer was still on the table when the UFC said that they said they released me, but they didn't. But the offer was still on the table. I could have re-signed with them. I came here. You know, I went where the money was. I went where the better deal was. I went where I felt like it was home. You know, it's no dig on them. Look, I just know the reality of it all is that I wanted to be happy. You know, and if paying me more money at that time was what makes you happy, then that's what makes me happy.
It's an interesting dynamic because you've got this laid-back attitude about this fight and kind of taking it as it comes. Meanwhile, your opponent coming off a rough loss, mm-hmm. a really devastating loss, actually. Yeah. And he said just a few minutes ago, hey, when I heard the name, I wanted to fight this guy, so he really wants it. Is there any danger of being too loose going in?
There's danger every time you get in there, man. Like, doesn't matter if it's him or if I, you know, I could have had an option probably of just fighting some no-name guy you guys never heard of. And I said, why? I want to be the co-main event in my hometown on the biggest card in Bellator history. Dude, Fedor's on this card with Matt. Fucking wake up, man. The UFC didn't put their fight card that night. Want to know why? Because there's no way they're going to match the amount of views. I said, what better chance for me to get on and just have fun? Go out there, do whatever. Whatever happens, happens, man. Like, I feel like I've done so much, man. People know I'm entertaining. You know, just look at the Gil fights. People know I don't quit. Look at the Tony Ferguson fight. You know, look at the Hermes Franca fight. I didn't quit. I'm not a quitter, and I try to bring great fights. That's it. You know, I've had a great career, man. I'm enjoying this moment right here. Not just this, but Saturday night. Josh. I'm even actually enjoying my weight cut. I got Dan Leith here, man. He's helping me with my weight cut, man. And Lockhart and Leith, and dude, they're helping me. It feels like I'm not even cutting weight right now. I feel great right now.
With your fight career winding down, is there any opponent or experience on your bucket list that you is out there?
No, I mean, like, I really kind of look at the Benson. You know, I look at Benson. That might be a good fight. I mean, I look at Chandler, too. Don't get me wrong. I'm looking at the Chandler fight as well. You know, but like I said, I can't worry about any of that stuff right now until after this fight. This kid's tough. He's no quitting him. He's going to go. You see it in him and his brother. It's just bred in them. You know, this is what they want to do. When they fucking probably were like 10 years old, they're like, I'm being that. And you see it, man, the way that they fight. And you can't knock people like that. I admire them, man. And the other thing, too, is I really admire people that every time I've seen them from the moment I got signed by Bellator, from across the room, hey, what's up? I like guys like that. Because that they're other people that don't do that stuff, they're the ones that give our supporters the stigma and the bad name. You know, the fighting at fucking press conferences and media shit. It's all just a gimmick and a joke. Like, just go out there and fight. You know, I mean, I'm sure there's animosity between some, but, like, let's not make it up just so we can try and get tickets, you know, to sell. You know, you guys are already, most of the guys are already big names, and they're the ones that are doing it, which is even worse. So, I like the guy. Guy's a good guy. Tough fighter. Gonna be a great fight.
Welcome back to the MMA Road Show. John Morgan, Cole Coffey doing things in San Jose. We are not in Halifax. That we have left that up to the young Mike Bond and Matt Erickson. We'll definitely be watching that fight on Sunday night. Derek Lewis versus Travis Brown. Love that fight, man. Obviously, no secret here. The Roadshow is a big Black Beast fans, man. He's been a good dude over the years. But I like Travis Brown a lot as well. I've always had really good interactions with him, and I know he's gotten a lot of hate, you know, with his relationship with Ronda Rousey and you know, all the stuff that went down with his ex and that sort of thing. And I will not even for a second pretend to act like I know exactly what happened there, because they are incredibly differing details and different accounts of what happened depending on who you talk to. But I can always say Travis has always been incredibly respectful, thoughtful. I've enjoyed my conversations with him. And I don't know, man, it's a tough fight, dude. Derek Lewis, raw, powerful, no doubt about it, man. Yep. But, dude, when Travis is on, and he hasn't been on late, but when he's on, dude, he's dangerous.
Yeah. I mean, he's got great movement. I mean, he's got legit kicks and stuff, and I think that's been some of the stuff that's kind of played against him when he's tried to get too cutesy with it.
Mm-hmm.
But that also is kind of what Derek's kind of been doing a little bit lately, too. He wants to be this very dangerous, well-rounded fighter. But when I say that, not just using his big, powerful punches. He's been throwing these kicks, but a lot of times doesn't seem he's fully committing to it, and guys are grabbing his leg and then taking him down.
Yep.
It's like, I'd rather just, like, just fucking throw a punch, man. Hurt him a little bit, then throw your kick. Because if you're just trying to throw this kick out there to just kind of set something up, I understand. But you got to follow it up. Don't just throw a half-ass kick and then let a guy get it. And the thing about with Travis is quick. Derek's got really quick hands. But in the movement of getting around and how you're going to see him move around,
right.
Travis got an advantage in that. He's going to be moving around, and that'd be smart for him to do.
Definitely.
But with Derek, he just needs to stay centered, you know. And when he's coming there, don't get too cute with it. Stick with what's been working, because, you know, once he starts getting it eventually, you know, I just dread the day when the matchup comes with, like, Ngannou, because then we're going to see what I think, you know, if he tries to get too cutesy, that's the sort of thing it's going to be really, really bad day. But with Travis, we know Travis can get knocked out, and Derek's easily got the power.
Yep.
I think if he just focuses on, you know, let Travis come up there. Let Travis make the mistake. Get Travis on the ground and then just do your thing. Don't try to get too cutesy. We've seen Travis hurt himself before trying to throw some kicks, you know, but I wouldn't want to get too close to Derek. So it's almost like you got to throw those kicks, but don't try to throw that crazy head kick. You know, that eventually, you know, if Derek grabs a hold of your leg and then pulls you in, and then you're going to meet right with that big fist of his. Travis is a great fighter. Great fighter. I think on there was
a stretch. He just has to have that killer instinct.
Yeah.
It's when he's overthinking it. When he's overthinking it, Because you're right. I think what you said is right. He tries to do too much, and it's
right.
Like, dude, don't try to worry about, you know, being technical and all that. You know what I mean? Like, you just go be raw. Go yeah. be raw. Because
just go
when
back
you're
to
raw,
some like what he was doing. I think just like maybe before he wasn't thinking as much, and he was amazing. You know, he would just get in there and was just, you know, which I think that's why he would shoot up the ranks, because he had power. But he was also throwing things that people weren't expecting. Mm-hmm. And I think now it's gotten to a point where people know what to sort of expect. He's got to get back to that just flowing with the moment, you know, kind of thing. And just let everything go. Get in there and just forget trying to – I mean, of course, everybody's got game plans. If somebody says, oh, don't go to his left because he's got a big, you know, huge left hook, keep that in your head.
Right.
But, I mean, don't think about, all right, first I need to – really set up this leg kick. And so to do that, I'm going to try to catch this and get stuck up in your head, because it's such a close time, especially when you got somebody like Derek coming at you. You know, I'm sure if you have too many thoughts in that split second before he throws that punch at you,
yeah,
you know, that's going to be a bad day for him. But
it's scary at heavyweight, like, especially, you know, like when you're a flyweight, like you can like, well, I was just doing this because I was trying to set this up later on. You can do that at heavyweight. Yeah. Don't try to do that to set it up later on. Just do that big thing now.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
I just, yeah.
Some,
I mean,
some and if Derek's on,
if, yeah, and if Derek's on his game, I think Derek's can handle it pretty easily. I think he's just so strong that if he gets his hands on him, I know Travis has been working a lot when it comes to wrestling on the ground. I think hopefully Derek has done the same, because Travis does have the ability to take him down. But Beast is so strong that depending on how big you are and how well you're able to control, guy can just roll off of his side, and he literally will just take a guy off the top.
It's crazy.
But it should be interesting. It's going to be a fun one to watch for sure. But if I had to put my pick in, which I will, I'm going to stay with Roadshow favorite, and I'm going to go with the Black Beast.
I did. I went with Derek Lewis as well, my staff picks. You know, Travis is dangerous, though. Definitely not writing him off. I'm looking forward to that one. We'll be watching that one for sure on TV. Johnny Hendricks versus Hector Lombard. Not a fan of Hendricks at middleweight, to be honest with you. But if you're going to go up to middleweight, Hector Lombard's not a bad one to fight there, because, you know, Hector has, like, kind of short, stocky arms. So he's not, like, one of these huge, rangy middleweights. I just think Johnny's going to run into people at 185 pounds that are just enormously bigger than he is. Dude,
yeah.
Like, if he stood next to Luke Rockhold or Chris Weidman – like, oh, I mean, oh.
Yeah.
Those dudes are massive.
I think we've seen that at, like, some of the – when the UFC had their, like, pool parties.
Yeah.
Johnny was there, and I know Luke was there. And Luke, yeah.
Dude, I'm
but
sorry.
Johnny fills out, though, man. When Johnny doesn't have to worry about his weight as much, he fills out. He gets thick.
He does. And maybe it'll be a situation – I mean, obviously, you know, Daniel Cormier was doing pretty good at heavyweight before he decided to go to light heavyweight. And he was way smaller than everybody. So maybe it's a situation where, you know, being that kind of odd size of being short and being, you know, fully rested and fully
and you know
hydrated.
He can take a punch.
He can't take a punch. I'm just I think this is a good first step at 185, but I'm a little bit scared for him in that division, man. Those are big dudes. Sam Cecilia's on there. Always a big fan of Sam Cecilia, man. Always enjoy talking to him. He's a really, really good dude. And I know he loves nothing more than go out there and bang. And he's fighting a local guy there in Gavin Tucker. So we'll see how Sam does. Cesar Matanz versus Elias Theodoro. That could be a fun fight. You got Alessandro Ricci on there. I'm sure that means WhatsApp will be blowing up. We'll be getting Angelo Reyes will be just sending WhatsApp messages everywhere. It's always funny when another journalist or somebody hits me up like, dude, Angelo's like blowing me up. I'm like, bro, just that's Angelo.
Yeah, that's
God,
a good fight.
That'd be a good fight.
That'd be a good win. Felder's a tough dude. That's who he's fighting, right, Paul Felder?
Yep, Paul Felder.
Yeah, that's a tough fight. But Alex is a tough dude. That'd have to be his biggest win to date,
oh,
for sure.
100%. So good fight card there. We'll definitely be watching that one on TV. I don't know what to do with a little bit of and a half. I don't know if we should just go on Saturday or go on Sunday, like before the UFC, or should we wait until
should
after
wait?
The UFC?
Yeah, we can wait.
And
we can do it back in
both,
Vegas,
even though we're not at that card. I don't know. I don't know what to do. I'm distraught.
Should we ask? What do you guys think?
If you got feedback, yeah. If you got a good idea, should we just go ahead and do the and a half on Sunday, where we're just talking about Bellator? Because we've actually got some time to kill on Saturday. We had to take a late flight out. So
I don't know.
It
does make
do
sense
it.
To watch the fights, though. That would be Because, I mean, if it's a bunch of, I mean, I'm sorry, Bellator, if it's a bunch of stinker fights,
right,
it would be fun to have some good fun fights to recap as well.
Wow,
and if we
just,
could watch the UFC.
Just out there saying that.
Well, no, I'm just saying. I mean, but
Bellator is going to suck.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying
Cole
if Coffee it did
is
suck.
On record saying Bellator will suck.
If you go back and listen to it, I said if, you know. But
so we'll just play by ear then, I guess.
Yeah, play by ear. But I'm not opposed to waiting until Sunday. But
yeah, because, I mean, then yeah.
I mean, we won't have any post-fight audio or any of that other stuff unless we just steal it off the videos or whatever. But it certainly would – I think it makes – because then we could just recap
the whole weekend.
Yeah. It makes sort of sense. But what do you guys think? But I think that's where I'm leaning, is that let's just recap the whole thing and do it on Sunday.
Should also give a shout-out as well. There is a Cage Warriors card on Saturday, Cage Warriors 80. And the reason I'm shouting it out is that our man Abby Saban will be there. At the O2. It's at the Indigo at the O2, which is a club inside the O2. So it's not the big full building. But Abby Saban will be on site talking to some of their fighters, some of their guest fighters as well. And, he'll be collecting some coverage from over in the UK. And then, of course, we'll be seeing Mr. Saban pretty soon. You're going to London on vacation, and I'm going to London to work. So we'll be over that side of the pond
Saban. Can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. Going to do the whole touristy thing over there. So I'm pretty stoked.
Can't beat it. All right, well, that's all we got for tonight. We're going to edit this thing, put it all together for you. Next week, the big episode number 100 on a week off, and we ain't got shit planned. Don't even think.
Boomers. We're going to get shit-faced at Boomers.
Don't even pretend. Yeah, what do we do? Maybe, like, we just make sure we're, like, incredibly hammered before we even start. Like, just
forget to record it.
That would be, like, great.
Maybe we could do, like, something just stupid, like a Facebook Live version. I mean,
something for 100. I mean, even though it's technically like 130 or something like that, mm-hmm.
I mean, we could try to do like a Facebook Live and just answer questions. It'd be like two people watching it or whatever, so we'd still have to have something. But.
And my mom is asking again.
What are you doing with your mom?
No, I haven't been to the dentist lately. Why? All right, well, listen, that's all we got for tonight. We're going to put this thing together. Bellator 172 for us this weekend. Don't forget, you got the young Mike Bond and Matt Erickson up in freezing-ass cold Nova Scotia, Canada. They can have that shit
pictures.
All day long. Dude, it was 70
you.
Degrees outside. The sun was shining. It was beautiful. They can have that shit. In the meantime, thanks for listening.
1096.
All right, we're rolling already?
Yep.
Cool. All right, there we go.
I did now. I'll tell you again. Them motherfucking nuts is good. That'd be Blue Diamond Almonds, Bold, Wasabi, and Soy Sauce. I saw.
Salty and sweet. Salty. Put my nuts in your mouth.
Start snacking. There. Where's my motherfucking advertising? Where's my sponsorship now?
Oh, man.
Proteus wanted some outtakes. So there you go, Proteus. Nuts in my mouth just for you. It must be the Arena Hotel just brings it out of you.
Good times. All right, we're rolling again.